Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. My name is George. Some of you know me. Some of you don't know me. I've been with the ministry since 2004. My wife and Tracy and I and Olivia have been coming consistently since then. And Clark approached me a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Hey, do me a favor." I said, "Sure, what? What do you want me to do?" First mistake. Preach for me on Sunday. I said, this is just a caution. Before Clark approaches you and he asks you to do him a favor, just make sure you get the particulars of the favor. But I don't mind, because I said, well, you know, what do you want me to preach on? And he says, just tell your story. Our testimony, folks, is one of the biggest things that God does in all our lives. It is the defense against any kind of doubt. And what I share with you today, there's good and there's bad, but it's a long life of seeing God's mercy and his grace work in my life, and I'm going to share it with you. And it's appropriate because we're in Romans, and really it's a struggle that we all have, Romans 7 and Romans 8. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, we ask that your word sink into our hearts, Lord. Bless us as we know you are here with us, and give us direction, Lord, in your word. May you reach the people that are struggling, Lord, that you would use me to encourage them. Encourage them, Lord, to walk into the dark valleys dependent upon you, Lord, to deliver them. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, the very deliverance for all of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. So I want to welcome everybody on Facebook and on YouTube. And also on the radio. I'm going to sit a little bit and stand and kind of wobble through this. I had the flu really bad a couple days ago, so I'm still kind of shaking the cobwebs out on that. So just bear with me as I sit and stand and cough and hack and try to get through this. But it's important to share because, you know, Clark and Lewis, Pastor Clark, Pastor Lewis, and the leadership, we want to know, we want you to know us. We want you to know who's in the ministry and been leading and helping and pulling the oars every day. And to know us is to also for us to get to know you. And I know a lot of folks here, and I know a lot of folks' testimonies and where you've been and where you've come from. But I want to give you a little bit of information about what makes me serve the Lord and serve the ministry. So just like everybody else, you know, there comes times in our life where we run up against some things. And I was an attorney. I worked with the Department of Defense for many years. My wife and I were married, and we were expecting our first child back in 2004. So we go to the delivery room, emergency C-section. Everything was fine up until that point. But the doctor comes in, and he's poking my daughter, and he says, "She's not normal." The first words out of his mouth. I suspect Down syndrome and leukemia. What a bonus. First time parent. I didn't know the Lord at this point. The nurses took the baby away, my daughter away, and put me in a room where I was waiting for my wife for 2 hours. And I was upset. I was in a room alone, and I was pounding my fists on the ground, and I was calling out to a God I did not know. Why is this happening? Why is this, you know, of all people, our first child? So that began the call that the Lord had on my life, because when I was calling out to him, I knew of God. I knew that he existed, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. And what kind of answer was I expecting at that point? I waited for my wife. I waited for those 2 hours alone in a room with a God that I didn't know. But in those instances, in that moment of desperation, I came to the end of myself, as many of you guys have in other circumstances, maybe not as dramatic, but we come to the end of ourselves and we ask for help. Do we ask it from people? Do we ask it from the Lord? Do we ask it from other things, drugs, alcohol? All these things are available to us in the world. And when we're walking in the world, some of those things seem attractive. But in that moment, when I searched for God, he heard me. And I always look back on my life and I think to myself, much like some of you, even though we may have not known God or come to know God later on in life, there's always that evidence of him in our lives if we look back on it after we get to know the Lord. We see him working in ways in which, you know, we can't comprehend. And that's kind of my story through my whole life. My daughter was, you know, she was premature, so she was no bigger than a cell phone. And for a first-time parent to care for that and also to understand that, you know, we have to fight leukemia at some point very soon, it broke me in so many ways. Sometimes, you know, the nature of our sin is so great that we need a tremendous breaking power, and only the Lord really knows how to deliver that, to get our attention. I needed a pretty big dose of humility. And I got it. Maybe some of you have been there and can empathize with that as well. But as I search for answers, you see when you look back on some things in life, you're never alone. The Lord strategically placed, you know, Tracy, my wife, and I had many friends, none of which knew the Lord. But ironically, one of Tracy's close friends was a devoted believer. She knew the Lord. She came to the hospital that day and she said, in no uncertain terms, "Oh, George, this is a miracle." Are you kidding me? You know, you see what's happening here? But she ministered to me. She told me that, you know, you don't have to handle this in your own strength. There's one that loves you. If this is a call upon your life, that this is a miracle, you're going to see amazing things in this child's life. And the Lord is going to reveal himself to you in this valley. If you flip over to Philippians, one of the first verses that the Lord put on my heart was in Philippians 3, 7 through 16. He said, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But these things were gained to me. I have counted it loss for Christ." This is Paul talking to the church. This is Paul talking to all of us. Here I was on the threshold of a life together with a family, and I didn't know the Lord. I had all these material gains, but in that moment, they were all loss. I didn't know the Lord. But I had much to gain in coming to know him. And he spoke to me through this verse. Clark talked a few weeks ago about, you know, those life verses that we carry with us. I'm sure all of you have those. But I'm going to reflect upon certain verses that I carry with me, and that I'm sure you do as well, that in times where we don't understand the circumstances, we fall back on those verses, those life verses where he spoke to us. It's almost like the word comes to life for all of us. And we hear his voice loud and clear. The Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, it means something to us. And that's what this verse did for me. So a year or so goes by, and I struggled with, you know, the leukemia is coming. We were going to test, and as a new believer, I was pouring into the Word. And I still had these questions as to, how or why did this happen to my daughter? And I felt like maybe I was being punished for something. Have any of you ever felt like that? That God was punishing us for something? That's not the way God works. Clark said a few weeks ago, in quoting Romans, "All things work for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes." His purposes in my life, I had no idea at that point. But what I did know is that in looking through his word, which comforted me, I found John 9. And John reflects upon the account where Jesus is answering his disciples where they saw a blind child. And they asked Jesus and they said, why was this child born blind? Did his parents or he sin? Jesus said, no. This child was born blind that the glory of God would be revealed in him. So Jerry, the lovely lady that was ministering to us, told me, George, he's going to continue to reveal himself deeper and deeper in the walk with this child. And as you go through this treatment and as you raise this child, you're going to see the Lord reveal himself in deeper and deeper ways with you. You're a young believer now. He's going to feed you on his word and you're going to grow up to eat steak, not just milk. I didn't know what that meant then. But the Lord explained it in years to come. As we went to treatment for leukemia, which it eventually came, we were in Children's Hospital. And for a child that big, to go through that type of leukemia treatment is pretty aggressive. And she had some major complications because of her size. We ended up in ICU a few times. And one of the things that I do remember is that I couldn't fix her. I looked on this situation and I kept coming to the end of myself. I can't fix her. I barely know what leukemia is. I'm certainly not educated on what Down syndrome was. But the Lord gave us that peace that surpasses all understanding. His word means something if we just pour ourselves into it. And I was pouring myself into it, looking for those answers. And what I remember was, is that, you know, when we cling to God, he clings right back just as hard. There's many times where I was reading through scripture and I'm pouring through the word and, you know, I'm a young believer, so I started in the front and I got to Leviticus and I almost quit. But through that, you know, through those toils with the word, through the contention in trying to apply it to life, the Holy Spirit is there encouraging us the whole way. And we got through the leukemia. You know, one of the things that I do remember about that is that on Christmas Eve, she had a major blood infection. And we had to life flight her to the hospital. I drove to the hospital. She took off. And as I watched the helicopter go into the night, I said, I'm not going to see my daughter again. And on Christmas Day, they came in and said, you have a very sick child. You know, she may or may not make it. And I remember praying and just seeking the Lord's comfort in his word. And he revealed to me many times over that the glory of God would be revealed in her. And as I woke up the next day on Christmas, there's nothing to eat. My wife and I had a flat bottle of Sprite and some stale crackers. To this day, every Christmas day, we post on Facebook about a can of flat Sprite and crackers. We celebrate what the Lord did that day. And in the hospital doorway on Christmas Day, we didn't have family that came to visit us. We didn't have any food to eat. There stood Clark Laufer. He came down to see us and he brought us food. And that man has walked with us and been a beacon for us in support, as he has for many of you, throughout our walk of almost 20 years now. And we rejoiced. My daughter came through the leukemia and she was healed. And we praised the Lord. And we don't know how it was cured. I mean, only God knows how you cure leukemia, really. And then 1 year later, they gave her less than a 1% chance to live. If the treatment didn't kill her, the leukemia was going to kill her. We had to make decisions. We had to make them fast. They told us that we would have to go to Duke University because Pittsburgh did not have the capability to save or treat her. I say save because I know that in the end, it's up to the Lord. But we seek what we seek, and we trust him to lead us to the right place. And when I got the news on this, of course, it broke our hearts. Again, you know, we didn't understand, but there was less about why and more about, okay, Lord, you know, what does this mean for us? Like it, many of you have, when you get bad news again and again and again, you're like, you know, I mean, when does this end? Or what are you preparing me for? In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, we clung to, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding of the things, but in all your way acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We had to decide on medications that we weren't qualified. We didn't know what they were. We had to decide on treatment plans. We didn't know what they were, but we leaned on the Lord. And when we went to see the doctors, you know, they're asking for these decisions that we have to make. The anxiety for deciding these things was enough that, you know, we're almost doubled over in agony, trying to decide how to treat and make the decision to do this. And I remember speaking to Clark on the phone in the hallway, and we prayed and we cried together. And he said, George, you're going to have to turn her over to the Lord. She's the Lord's. You're just here to take care of her. And as hard as that is, as troublesome as that was for me as a parent, I didn't know how to do it. And we began the treatment, and we moved to Duke, and I still struggled with this. And we had different treatment days, we had good days, and we had bad days. But as I poured into the Word, Luke 11:3, Luke says that this is our day by day. The Lord gives us our day by day, our daily bread. Somehow, some way, in the midst of our day to day, he reaches us in his Word if we avail ourselves of it, if we trust him in it. He's going to instruct us, and he's going to guide us, and he's going to edify us. And as we witnessed these things that were almost impossible, we saw our health diminish. And the transplant doctors came in, and they said, listen, you know, the transplant, when it goes in, it could kill her, it could heal her, but we don't know until it happens. And when the day came for the transplant, I still remember the room. They cut these oranges because there's a smell. And the nurses gather around my daughter, and they have all the equipment and the syringes and the needles and the vials and everything and the heart paddles. They said she could go into cardiac arrest. Her heart rate could go up. She could go, you know, into all kinds. We prepared ourselves for the worst because the body could reject the transplant. We prepared ourselves for the worst, and the doctors gave us a long laundry list of all the things that could go wrong, but they left out the one thing that could go right. That's God's will. When they delivered the transfusions, the nurses stood around waiting for the inevitable, something awful to happen. I watched the heart monitor in anticipation, but I had a peace wash over me, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And her heart rate stayed the same, and she drifted off into a nap. Nothing that the world predicted happened to her because of God's will, because of God's hand and all that. The nurses looked at each other. They didn't know what to do. Anybody who's in medicine here, sometimes you can't explain miracles, and they happen in all different shapes and forms. Sometimes they're 4 pounds and 6 ounces. But what we learned in that is that through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we made our requests known to God, and he delivered that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's in Philippians 4. The word reaches us in the direst of circumstances. And to this day, we can't explain the miracle that happened. We don't know how you cure leukemia like that. But as we watched her develop and the doctors told us, the transplant was extremely successful. But you can expect to be quarantined for almost a year. You're not going to be able to go out in public. The slightest flu, the slightest bacteria, a cough or a cold could kill her. We recall many times, my wife and I, that the people on either side of my daughter, it was a bad flu season. Their families lost their children while we were there. Nothing can replace the agony and the sounds and watching families lose a child. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But these are the things that you're going to lose your job. something awful is going to, you're going to lose a loved one. You know, the worst thing is going to happen to you. The battleground is in the mind, especially when we're weak and we're suffering or we're dependent. I think a lot of times the evil one gets a lot of credit for things, but many times he just whispers and the flesh does the rest. You know, we'll take off and run with something that seems awful. Why? When we know the Lord is with us. We struggle with this all the time. It's a Romans 7 problem. It's the sinful nature in us to doubt the Lord. I mean, isn't that what felled Eve? It's just a whisper? You know, can you be like God? So we go a few years and we see our little girl make it through that treatment. And we see her start to prosper. And things are going well for her, and we watch her develop and we see her grow, and the doctors are astounded at the blood work. And we go back and forth a few times to Duke for visits, not because they wanted to monitor her, but I think they were in disbelief at how successful it was. We weren't quarantined for 300 days or 180 days. The average time frame for a bone marrow transplant to take, 45 days. And they released her. Doctors coming in saying, one of them with us the whole time, the lead oncologist came in and he looked at me and he says, he goes, I don't believe in God, but this child is a miracle. The nurses, some of them still follow us to this day on Facebook in disbelief of just how fast that the Lord can take an unrelated stem cell transplant, put it into a body and make it fruition so fast and have somebody recover. Why us? We ask many times that the glory of God would be revealed in her life. As many of you have glorious stories, ours changed a little bit in a couple of years. I was an attorney, as I said, for Department of Defense. I'd been there for 15 years. We were recovering financially from what happened. We had to pay for a mortgage in Duke and still pay for our mortgage here. My wife was out of work. We returned back from Duke, and we had about $200 to our name, enough to pay for the rental car. But God provided down to the penny. A year or so after that, the federal administration, the A76 circular where I was part of, my law firm was a part of, dried up. I lost my job. So here we are trying to support a child with all the medications and everything required without employment. So I didn't sit around. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I knew the Lord had something in this. And many times I think when we run up against these things that just keep happening, it's the Lord's way of getting our attention. He's saying, I'm still here. I still am in the miracle business. I still love you and I still care about you. And for me, as it is for all of us, the battleground once again is the thoughts. It's in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3 was one of the things that should direct us all. It says, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty of God, for pulling down strongholds and casting down every argument and other high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in obedience to Christ. The Lord drove this home in so many ways in my study. I kept struggling with, you know, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Why do I fall into these patterns of thinking where I'm doubting you, where I see you work, yet I can't believe it when it happens again? Like, you're not going to do the same thing that you did before. These are the matters that come into the mind. This is where the evil one whispers to us. And we have to bring those thoughts into captivity. In the instant, Lord, is this of you or is this not of you? He goes on in Romans 12:2. And Paul, in talking to the Romans, pleads with us. I beseech you, brethren, dedicate your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto God, for this is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. After we bring these thoughts into captivity, we renew our mind. What do we renew our mind on? Well, Philippians 4:8 is absolutely on point. Whatever's lovely, whatever's trustworthy, whatever's praiseworthy, meditate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The formula for all of us is right there. Do we believe God and his word? Do we trust him? Are we listening to him when he tells us to trust him, to bring those thoughts into captivity, to renew our minds on him and what he's done for us, to dwell on the good things, not the bad things in life? I think we all can look back on things where they're impossible. But he also tells us in his word, what's impossible for man is entirely possible for God. So when I considered these things, as I looked around for employment, I was wandering into a job fair. My wife wanted me to go to a job fair. I'd never been to a job fair in my life, but I was doing everything I could to seek employment. I was actually going to go drive golf balls, but, you know, it just so happened to be in the same area. And I wandered in with a resume, and I looked around. I didn't really see anything that was attractive, but I did see a guy in a corner with a suit on that was amazing. I walked over and said, "That's a really nice suit." I wasn't a lawyer, so I saw many good suits. He said, "Hey, buddy, why are you here?" I said, I'm just kind of passing through, and I just figured I'd take a look. I handed him my resume, and the rest, as they say, is kind of history. State Farm pursued me for employment. What are the chances that that would happen? I wasn't a salesman, and I told him that. I can't sell insurance. I was an attorney. I don't sell insurance. He says, "You're perfect." Much like, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" So he says, "But you got to go through some hoops." I said, "I don't care how big or how high. I know the Lord's with me and I'll jump." He said, "You know, you're going to have to interview for this. They give the position on merit. And you have to demonstrate a business plan to the board." Okay. So I go into a room. They invite me to the headquarters. I go into a room. And all the while I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a disaster. I don't have any experience. I'm competing against other people with experience who's been with State Farm for many years. And here I am, some guy with no knowledge, really, except for what I learned in the legal field. And I call it the Wizard of Oz room. I walk in and there's a huge screen. And there's like 15 people on it and 5 or 6 people around. And they grilled me for a half an hour. And they asked questions about business and everything. And when I left, I said, "Well, you know, that's it. I'm never getting this." A couple guys came out and said, You nailed it. Okay, whatever. And the next morning, I had to go before the vice president of State Farm and sell him a life insurance policy. No experience. And I was laying in bed that morning in the hotel, and I was praying to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you got me this far. I know you're not going to leave me on the side of the road. You have a plan here. I'm trusting in you with all my heart. I'm not leaning upon my own understanding of why I'm in front of State Farm. I'm applying the words that you want me to. I'm living your word." And he simply said, "George, tell him your story. My father died when I was very ill without life insurance. 35 years later, my mother's still in financial issues. We didn't have any money growing up. And I took a big magic marker and I wrote 35 on a piece of paper, as the Lord told me to do. And I walked into the interview and I had people with slides and presentations and PowerPoints and everything. And I walk in with 35. And the president sat down, and he'd been through probably 150, 200 interviews and people selling him all different avenues of life insurance and everything. And he says, go ahead. And I slid the 35 across the table. He goes, what is this? I said, that's how many years that my family struggled without life insurance. You're hired. I would have never thought of that. I would have never thought of that. But that's how the Lord leads us in the day to day. It's not only the mountaintop experiences, but it's in the trials of the daily life where you reach out to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, knowing what he's brought us through and looking forward to what he's going to take us through. I encourage you to look at the dark valleys differently, to look at the challenges. I'm a man thoroughly broken and put back together by the Lord. The stress of everyday life goes on. You know, we have things that are going to keep coming at us. And what's the goal of this? How does the Lord, where is he taking us with this? He's preparing us. He's preparing all of us. He's preparing us how to handle the little things. If we look at the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's known as the weeping prophet. He's trying to get Israel to repent, to under praying, and he's leaning on God, and he's saying, you know, where's the justice here? They don't listen to me. They continue in their ways. They're not hearing me about you. And the Lord, in no uncertain terms, says in his word in Jeremiah 12, he says, you know, if you can't contend with men, how are you going to run with horses? And how will you negotiate the floodplains of the Jordan? He's preparing us for bigger things. The little things, if we can't handle them with him, if we can't trust him in the little things, if we can't accept the direction in life, how are we going to run with horses? I grew up on a horse farm. You guys been around, anybody been around horses? They're very powerful animals. I remember one time I used to swing from these ropes around the barn like Tarzan. Not a good idea. But two or three or four of us would pull on these ropes. And one day I remember I tied my little teeny pony to this rope and something scared it. You know, it was where you tie them up. Pulled its head and snapped it like a piece of cooked spaghetti. How powerful these animals, how powerful our foe is, how powerful the valleys of darkness and life will be. He's preparing us for these things, to trust him. I wrote something down because I don't think I can say it better, but I have it in my notes. God is saying that even with the appreciation of these challenges that we face, there are greater challenges to come. If we want to contend in eternity, and in life's growing challenges, we need to learn to trust God and to draw on his strength in this present challenge. We're all going through something right now, and we will all always be going through something. He's in order to prepare us for greater challenges in the future. Jeremiah ran into many troubles, and the Lord was preparing him for these troubles, just like he's preparing all of us, and he's giving us the tools to do so. My message was titled, Are We Listening to God? If we want to conquer these challenges, if we want to walk with the Lord, if we want to see his plans for our lives, we have to listen to God. And as he tells us, we have to do more than hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. He's not leaving us alone. And as he tells us, there's no temptation which befalls us that has not befallen other people. There's nothing that we haven't dealt with that he's not capable of dealing with. Jeremiah, Romans, 2 Corinthians, all through the book. These may not be your particular life verses, but I guarantee you, if you're in his word and you're seeking his counsel, you're seeking his will for your life, he's going to get you to live different verses. He's going to have you apply them to your life. experiencing him by hearing his word, we truly will experience him in all his glory and all his mercy and all his grace. Some things don't work out the way we plan, and bad things happen. But as we've been studying in Romans, we just have to trust him that those things will work out for good somehow, some way. Leukemia once, leukemia twice, loss of employment, loss of a career, loss of jobs, the daily struggles. Sometimes I think, and probably many like you, is that like somehow, some way, something I've done or something that's befallen me is bigger than God. And that's absolutely not the case. He's proven that to me, he's proven that to you, and I'm sure he'll continue to do that as long as we trust him and walk with him. And in concluding, worship team, you want to come forward? For me and for many others, I'm sure that as we give our testimony and we talk to people about what we experienced and the perseverance that the Lord has given us, I can speak this, and I've heard this before, and I've heard this many times, that no one will be able to look at your life and see what you've persevered through and hear your testimony and hear how God has worked and be able to explain it in human terms. Just use your testimony. Tell it. Talk about it, because that's one of the greatest tools that the Lord has built into all our lives. We're all going to reach different people. The Lord's going to use us in mighty ways. One of the biggest fears that I have, and I'm sure others have, is being unusable to the Lord. Not sharing, not being able to give our testimony. And sometimes it's not pretty. The circumstances of people struggling aren't good. But as the word says, he's built this into us that we can encourage others when they're going through something. I can't tell you the people that have come across my life that are struggling with things that only the Lord can fix. And by sharing the testimony, by bringing those thoughts into captivity, helping them understand how you made it through certain things, trusting in God, renewing your mind on him and dwelling on the good things of life and of the world, they will be encouraged. So I thank you for the opportunity to share. And that's really what this walk is about for all of us. I've seen miracles in what the Lord's done and what the Lord's provided for in our family. It's not many times that I can ever say that I could explain it. You know, how is leukemia cured? How does a job come out of nowhere? But it's all because of him, and all glory to him. And the day-to-day is that, you know, all these years later, some 20 years later, and serving in archery here, all of us get to the end of the day, and in our boat and in our canoe is water. Every day I have to bail my canoe out. We're all on a stormy sea. We're all going to get washed over, and we're going to get water in our boat. But as long as Jesus is in our boat with us, I guarantee you it'll never sink. So before we take the supper with the Lord, I just want to pray. If we bow our heads. Lord, thank you for calling yours to this life, sealing us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for indwelling us with a desire to seek you. We have no life, no joy or wisdom, no strength except in you. You told your disciples, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do." Teach us, Lord, to pray aright. Enable us, Lord, at all times to speak and act to your glory with a pure spirit, with humility, patience, love, gentleness, peace, courage, and wisdom. thinking you're never unfair or being a victim. Let us always be aware of your presence. Teach us what we should say and how to speak. If it be your will that we make no answer, inspire us to keep silent in the spirit of peace that causes neither sorrow nor hurt to anyone. Sanctify us, O Lord, and teach us to love you with all our heart, soul, body, mind, and spirit. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Thank you all. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I know that as I get to know more of you, there may be other times where I'll get to share more. If we were to write a book on our lives and all the miracles and things that the Lord has done, I would be up here for a week. I'm sure everybody wouldn't want that. But thank you again. Have a great week. God bless you.